captain of my own ship, master of my own destiny? Pastor Ray Bentley says God will allow you to go down that path.
I want to be free to make my own choices, my own values, my own morals, whatever. Guess what? God gives you that right to choose. But know this, there is a heavy price to be paid, and the reality is you're a slave. You've been deceived by the master, deceiver, Satan himself.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Sometimes our own kids show their free will. I'd rather do it my way, Mommy. And when we let the consequences teach them a lesson, it sticks. Well, that's sometimes the way the Heavenly Father relates to His children. But the better way is always to follow God's lead. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 6 this morning. Beginning with Romans chapter 6, verse 12. We've begun the first 11 verses with the mystical truth. The mystical truth is, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are in Christ. And it's equally true that Christ is in you. Now, when am I placed into Christ? I'm placed in Christ at the cross. That's where I begin my relationship of identifying with the Lord Jesus. At the cross, it's not only true that Jesus died, but it's equally true that if I'm in Him, I died, and I died to sin. But He did not stay in the grave, and on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. So I am risen. I and you are to be as those who have risen from the dead. So it's not just the negative. So, and this is where the church has sometimes by emphasis gone wrong. And in the end, given, if you give half a truth, you've ended up giving an entire untruth. And when you only state that we're dead to sin, the impression can be that Christianity is a bunch of rules. A bunch of things that you gotta stop doing, don't do anymore. There's the old, you know, church phrase, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go out with girls that do. You heard that one? So, you know, it's almost like, wow, you know, I'm young, I'm gonna sow my wild oats, I know that I gotta get my fire insurance of salvation at some point, but I wanna live my life and have some fun, and then when I get older, you know, I'll repent of all my wayward times, and then I guess I'll just have to not have as much fun anymore. That's not the gospel. Would you agree that's not very good news? But the reason that there are many of you here this morning and in church is that because you discovered that sin, while it's pleasurable, it only lasts for a season. It comes to an end. Every activity of the flesh, eventually, it turns on you and brings more pain than pleasure. It brings misery more than it brings comfort. It's actually worse off than in the beginning when you were looking for something to fill the void in your life. And so eventually we wake up like the prodigal son, and as the original language says, we read in our Bibles in English, he came to himself. I like the literal translation. It says the prodigal son returned to his true self, his true identity. He said, what am I doing? I'm going home. And that's what you've done by being in church and by being a believer in Jesus Christ. You have come home to your Father. And so, yes, it is true. Now I am in Christ and I am dead to sin, but that's only half the truth. I'm also alive to things that I wasn't alive to before. I am alive to a relationship, a personal, intimate relationship with my Father in heaven. I now have a daddy who loves me unconditionally. who wants to nurture me and bless me and help me and has nothing but lavishing good gifts upon me. He's got a purpose and a plan for my life that will be realized for me as a unique, beloved Son of God that is unlike the plan that he has for any other human being that has ever lived. It's special. And that kind of specialness and belovedness and love is lavished so uniquely upon all of God's children that every one of you, when you enter into what God's plan for you really is, will feel like, the experience will be, I'm God's favorite. I know I am because of the way he treats me. When you begin feeling like you're God's favorite, you're beginning, just beginning, to scratch the surface of what it's all about. We should all feel that way, because that's the way God treats all of his children equally, unconditionally, in that state of belovedness. But now we have to move from that mystical reality of being in Christ, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to God, now to the practical. How do I live that out? What does that look like? What does it mean? And so look with me at verse 12. We begin with verse 12. He says, now, since that's true that I'm in Christ, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Paul is saying attitude must become action. The attitude of mind that I am dead to sin must be translated into the action of my experience, that I am now dead to things that I used to be alive to, and now I am alive to things that I used to be dead to. Stop letting sin reign. Why? Because whenever sin reigns in my body, I become a slave to it. And this is the obvious to a believer insight to the foolishness of the world's philosophy. The world says, why would you want to become a Christian and follow the Bible and become a religious fanatic and start following a bunch of rules and all the things that are fun you can't do anymore? We want freedom. I want to be free to make my own mind and my own choices, my own values, my own morals, whatever. Fine. Guess what? God gives you that right to choose. But know this. There is a heavy price to be paid, and the reality is, and that's why, again, hundreds of people are gathered here this morning, because we found out the price was more than I had to pay, more than I was willing to pay. It took more from me than it gave to me. And while in the beginning I thought I was free, in the end I found out that I was a slave. Sin makes you a slave. You're not free. The drug addict is not free. The alcoholic is not free. And whatever other sin or vice that you want to indulge in, you're not free. You're a slave. You've been lied to. You've been deceived by the master, deceiver, Satan himself. And that's why Jesus came to set us free. He not only came then to set me free from the guilt of my past sins, he came to empower me so that I can keep from sinning in the future. Because it's only going to bring more pain, more misery, more sorrow, more hurt into my life, and more slavery. So the Lord literally wants to bring freedom. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, that scripture is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Do you know that's what God has always been looking for? From the very beginning, with Adam and Eve, God was looking for a people. With Abraham, God was looking for a people. He's always been looking for a people, Jesus said, who will worship their Creator in spirit and in truth. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had everything. They were perfect in all of their ways, and the garden was beautiful beyond description, but they turned away from their Creator. What did they choose instead? They chose something that was good to eat, pleasing to look at, and desirable to make them wise. That was the original temptation. It looked good to eat, tasted good, made them feel good, was pleasing to the eye, beautiful, and desirable to make them wise. Now you say, but what's wrong with fruit and what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. There were millions of other trees they could eat the fruit of. But this fruit was poison. This fruit was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God never meant for man to know evil by experience. And so what Adam and Eve chose, they chose the things in that tree, symbolic in that tree, as they chose the things of the flesh instead of the things of the spirit. And the reality is that every single one of us in here, including me behind the big bad pulpit under the lights with the Bible before me, including your pastor, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have, like Adam and Eve, chosen in our lives, to one degree or another, to one measure or another, the things of the flesh over the things of the spirit. That's why we're sinners. That's why we're empty. That's why we're lonely. That's why there is something missing on the inside. But here's the good news. Even in that state, God loves us. He loves us. And I love my little grandson Noah unconditionally. He doesn't have to do one thing for me to love him. Nothing. He can sleep and do nothing, and I love him. He can be awake and gurgle, and I love him. He can cry, and I love him. He doesn't have to do anything. I just love him to pieces. He could just be a little blob, and I love him. And quite frankly, there is nothing he will ever be able to do that will make me not love him. Now, those of you that are parents or grandparents or that have had the joy of having children or grandchildren know this. Can children hurt you? Oh, yeah. Can they disappoint you? Absolutely. Can they do things that will bring a grief to your heart? You bet. But the love, see, the very fact that it hurts so bad is the proof that the love is so great. And God was hurt. God was disappointed. He was brokenhearted and grieved, but it never stopped him from loving us. And that's why in the eternal plan of God, he knew what we would choose. And he also knew that he would still love us. And he also had a plan whereby he would send his only begotten son to die and to pay our punishment, to pay for our sins uniquely, individually, as well as corporately, as well as for every generation of human beings. And so that he would give us another chance. And with another chance comes another choice. See, now we're like the prodigals. We've come home, and now I realize, what was I thinking? I don't want that anymore. Lord, forgive me. We repent of our sins. But then, after experiencing that fresh forgiveness, and now a restored relationship with my Father in heaven, now it changes my future, because I'm going to be put on a daily basis right back in the Garden of Eden, and there's two trees, the tree of life, Jesus, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What am I going to choose tomorrow? And what many Christians do is they end up taking advantage of the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, and they keep choosing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't change their ways. They don't change their habits. They don't change their desires. They don't change their indulgences, but they keep repenting and they keep asking God to forgive. And they keep grieving the heart of their Father, and they keep bringing more pain and hurt to themselves. At some point, what Paul is saying is, we got to move now to the mystical, to the practical. We've got to, if I could put it simply and bluntly, grow up. And growing up as a Christian means, all right, here I am again, in the garden, two trees. And we reach the point where we choose of our own volition, because the Spirit is in us and with us and will empower us and help us. And I say, so that's it. Oh yeah, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Uh-uh. Not this time, pal. Not today. Oh, you look good, but I know what you look like on the inside. I know you taste good now, but I know the bitterness that will make my stomach sick. I know that you have a certain wisdom that seems rational today, but I also know that the day will come when you will be laughing at me, mocking me as a fool. No, thank you. In fact, I'm going to, this time, instead of turning my back on my Father, I'm going to turn my back on you. I'm going to, instead of indulging my flesh, I'm going to deny my flesh. In fact, I'm going to make the priority the things of the Spirit, which is who I really am, not the things of the flesh, where we literally begin to turn things around. That should be, it's not that we reach perfection, but there should be, I should be a more holy person today than I was a year ago. That's why Paul says, if you're in Christ, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts thereof. Now let's look at verse 13, the second verse and the second point in our outline. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Paul says, stop letting sin reign. It doesn't have to. You know, it's again like that old phrase, you know, you don't have to keep beating your head against the wall. And then they go up and they ask him, why are you doing that? And he said, because it feels so good when I stop. So why don't you not do that? That's what he's saying, very simply. Stop yielding to sin and start yielding to the Spirit. What does it mean to yield to the Spirit? It is a loving possession. The Holy Spirit possesses a believer. And so the more of Christ that I have, that I move and live and have my being in, the more fulfilled I become, then I want to become less and less so that I might be filled more and more with Christ. How do I do that? By yielding. The word yield is found five times in Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, 16, and 19. And it means to place at one's disposal. So what is Paul saying? Place your body at the disposal of your Father in heaven. It means to present your body to your Father, and then to offer as a sacrifice. Present your body as a sacrifice. Now, what kind of sacrifice? Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 out loud together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. If you have a pen or a pencil, underline the phrase, living sacrifices. You see, it's the old covenant that required dead sacrifices. In the new covenant, God doesn't want dead sacrifices anymore. He wants living sacrifices. He wants you to live. He's not asking you physically to die. He's asking you to die to the things of the flesh inwardly, but yet be alive to him, more alive than you've ever been alive. And may I say this, to the degree that you will die to the flesh, to that degree you will experience the power and the glory and the presence and the intimacy of the Spirit of God. There are many Christians saying, well, if God will fill me more with his Spirit, then I'll leave doing the things of the flesh. It doesn't work that way. You have to stop yielding your members to the flesh, and then you are filled with the Spirit. You see, you may be waiting on God when in reality God is waiting on you. And by the way, the decision that is mentioned here is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of offer. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of surrender to the Lord. Let me read from another literal translation of verse 12. It says this, do not constantly allow sin to reign in your mortal body so that you are constantly obeying its lusts. Neither constantly yield your members of your body as weapons or tools of unrighteousness to sin, but once and for all, yield yourselves to God. There must be in the believer's life a final, complete surrender of the body to Jesus to be possessed of him. Now see, there are only two ways to become spiritually active. One is to become demon-possessed, and the other is to become possessed by the Holy Spirit. But a major difference between the two, obviously. First of all, and there is demonic possession. It was there in Jesus' days, and it still the demonic activity arises in the book of Revelation. There is evil in the world beyond just, you know, the human propensity to sin that instigates and ignites. And in fact, I would say the very spirit behind terrorism right now is that same Antichrist spirit that the world has seen before. It's a spiritual battle. But when a demon possesses a body, he shoves aside and crushes and uses and abuses the soul and the personality of that individual to live out and act out its wild, furious, angry activities. And that's why the demons are always running into fires, throwing and trying to kill themselves, committing suicide, bringing havoc, terror, fear, hurt, pain, all the things associated with demonic activity. The reason that the demon torments the one it inhabits is because the demon hates that person. Totally, absolutely, purely hates the individual. And the reason that the demons hate human beings is that they hate now themselves, having been cut off from God, who is love. They are left with nothing but self-loathing and hatred. That's demonic possession. The exact opposite, though, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe I am every bit as possessed of the Spirit of the living God as another person might be possessed of a demonic spirit. But my, what a difference in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't push me aside, doesn't move me and hide me or take away my personality. The reality is that he draws me out. He interweaves into my own thoughts, his thoughts, loving thoughts. You know why? Because he loves me. He loves me. And he wants intimacy with the deepest part of who I am. He doesn't make me do anything. He woos me. He draws me. He inspires me. He encourages me. He directs me. He wants me to follow. But if I don't want to, I can easily crush the still, small voice of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will never make you go to church. The only reason you're in church is because you chose to come to church. He wanted you to come. He drew you to come. He brought out that need and that hunger, but he didn't make you do what you didn't want to do. And so it is in the Christian life. You have to yield to him the members of your body. You have to yield to him your mind. You have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And the more that I surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit, the more fulfilled, the more happy, the more joyful, the more peaceful I will become.
Important insight from our studies in the book of Romans today from Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. And you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Yielding to Love. And we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Yielding to Love. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.